Welcome back to the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party. Earlier we heard that the 1871 Paris Commune was the first communist revolt where the hoodlums and scum of society were unleashed. During the rebellion, they took hostage and shot the Archbishop of Paris, cruelly killed 64 clergymen, set fire to palaces, destroyed government offices, private residences, monuments, and inscription columns. The Long March, of which the CCP falsely touts as a victorious anti-Japanese operation, was in reality a long retreat to Outer Mongolia. As the CCP marched through the areas where no Japanese troops were deployed, they claimed to be anti-Japanese in order to win people's hearts. We continue now with part 2 of the 9 commentaries on the beginnings of the Chinese Communist Party.
The Xi'an Incident. The CCP successfully sowed dissension and latched onto the KMT a second time. In December 1936, Chiang Shui-liang and Yang Hu-cheng, two KMT generals, kidnapped Chiang Kai-shek in Xi'an. This has since been referred to as the Xi'an Incident. According to the CCP's textbooks, the Xi'an Incident was a military coup initiated by Zhang and Yang, who delivered a life-or-death ultimatum to Chiang Kai-shek. He was forced to take a stance against the Japanese invaders. Zhou Enlai was reportedly invited to Xi'an as a CCP representative to help negotiate a peaceful resolution. With different groups in China mediating, the incident was resolved peacefully, thereby ending a civil war of 10 years and starting a unified national alliance against the Japanese. The CCP history books say that this incident was a crucial turning point for China in her crisis. The CCP depicts itself as the patriotic party that takes the interests of the whole nation into account. More and more documents have already revealed that many CCP spies had already gathered around Yang Hu-cheng and Zhang Shui-liang before the Xi'an incident. Liu Ding, an underground CCP member, was introduced to Zhang Shui-liang by Song Qingling, wife of Sun Yat-sen, a sister of Madame Chang and a CCP member. After the Xi'an incident, Mao Zedong praised that, quote, Liu Ding performed meritorious service in the Xi'an incident, end quote. Among those working at Yang Hu-cheng's side, his own wife, Xie Baozhen, was a CCP member and worked in Yang's political department of the army. Xie married Yang Hu-cheng in January of 1928 with the approval of the CCP. In addition, CCP member Wang Bingnan was an honored guest in Yang's home at the time. Wang later became a vice minister for the CCP Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It was these CCP members around Yang and Zhang who directly instigated the coup. At the beginning of the incident, the leaders of the CCP wanted to kill Chiang Kai-shek, avenging his earlier suppression of the CCP. At the time, the CCP had a very weak base in northern Shaanxi province, and had been in danger of being completely eliminated in a single battle. The CCP, utilizing all its acquired skills of deception, instigated Zhang and Yang to revolt. In order to pin down the Japanese and prevent them from attacking the Soviet Union, Stalin personally wrote to the Central Committee of the CCP, asking them not to kill Chiang Kai-shek, but to cooperate with him for a second time. Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai realized that they could not destroy the KMT with the limited strength of the CCP. If they killed Chiang Kai-shek, they would be defeated and even eliminated by the avenging KMT army. Under these circumstances, the CCP changed its tone. The CCP forced Chiang Kai-shek to accept cooperation a second time in the name of joint resistance against the Japanese. The CCP first instigated a revolt, pointed the gun at Chiang Kai-shek, but then turned around and, acting like a stage hero, forced him to accept the CCP again. The CCP not only escaped a crisis of disintegration, but also used the opportunity to latch onto the KMT government for the second time. The Red Army was soon turned into the Eighth Root Army and grew bigger and more powerful than ever before. One must admire the CCP's unmatchable skills of deception. Anti-Japanese War. The CCP grew by killing with borrowed weapons. When the anti-Japanese war broke out in 1937, the KMT had more than 1.7 million armed soldiers, ships with 110,000 tons displacement, and about 600 fighter planes of various kinds. The total size of the CCP's army, including the new 4th Army, which was newly grouped in November of 1937, did not exceed 70,000 people. Its power was weakened further by internal fractional politics and could be eliminated in a single battle. The CCP realized that if it were to face battle with the Japanese, it would not be able to defeat even a single division of the Japanese troops. In the eyes of the CCP, sustaining its own power rather than ensuring the survival of the nation was the central focus of the emphasis on national unity. Therefore, during its cooperation with the KMT, the CCP exercised an internal policy of, quote, giving priority to the struggle for political power, which is to be disclosed internally and realized in actual practice, end quote. After the Japanese occupied the city of Shenyang on September 18, 1931, thereby extending their control over large areas in northeastern China, the CCP fought shoulder to shoulder with Japanese invaders to defeat the KMT. In a declaration written in response to the Japanese occupation, the CCP exhorted the people in the KMT-controlled areas to rebel, calling on, quote, workers to strike, peasants to make trouble, students to boycott classes, poor people to quit working, and soldiers to revolt, end quote, so as to overthrow the nationalist government. The CCP held up a banner calling for resistance to the Japanese, but they only had local armies and guerrilla forces in camps away from the front lines. Except for a few battles, including the one fought at Pingxing Pass, the CCP did not make much of a contribution to the war against the Japanese at all. Instead, they spent their energy expanding their own base. When the Japanese surrendered, the CCP incorporated the surrendering soldiers into its army, claiming to have expanded to more than 900,000 regular soldiers, in addition to 2 million militia fighters. The KMT army was essentially alone on the front lines while fighting the Japanese, losing over 200 marshals in the war. The commanding officers on the CCP side bore nearly no losses. However, the textbooks of the CCP constantly claimed that the KMT did not resist the Japanese, and that it was the CCP that led the great victory in the anti-Japanese war. Rectification in Yan'an, creating the most fearsome methods in persecution. The CCP attracted countless patriotic youth to Yan'an in the name of fighting against the Japanese, but persecuted tens of thousands of them during the rectification movement in Yan'an. Since gaining control of China, the CCP has depicted Yan'an as the revolutionary Holy Land, but has not made any mention of the crimes it committed during the rectification. The rectification movement in Yan'an was the largest, darkest, and most ferocious power game ever played out in the human world. In the name of cleansing petty bourgeoisie toxins, the party washed away morality, independence of thought, freedom of action, tolerance, and dignity. The first step of the rectification was to set up, for each person, personnel archives, which included 1. A personal statement, 2. A chronicle of one's political life, 3. Family background and social relationships, 4. Autobiography and ideological transformation, and 5. An evaluation according to party nature. In the personnel archive, one had to list all acquaintances since birth, all important events and the time and place of their occurrence. People were asked to write repeatedly for the archive, and any omissions would be seen as signs of impurity. One had to describe all social activities they had ever participated in, especially those related to joining the party. The emphasis was placed on personal thought processes during these social activities. Evaluation based on party nature was even more important, and one had to confess any anti-party thoughts or behavior in one's consciousness, speech, work attitudes, everyday life, or social activities. For example, in evaluation of one's consciousness, one was required to scrutinize whether one had been concerned for self-interest, whether one had used work for the party to reach personal goals, whether one had wavered in trust in the revolutionary future, feared death during battles, or missed family members and spouses after joining the party or the army. There were no objective standards, so nearly everyone was found to have problems. Coercion was used to extract confessions from cadres who were being inspected in order to eliminate hidden traitors. Countless frame-ups and false and wrong accusations resulted, and a large number of cadres were persecuted. During the rectification, Yan'an was called a place for purging human nature. A work team entered the University of Military Affairs and Politics to examine the cadres' personal histories, causing red terror for 2 months. Various methods were used to extract confessions, including extemporaneous confessions, demonstrative confessions, group persuasions, 5-minute persuasions, private advice, conference reports, and identifying the radishes, for example, red outside and white inside. There was also picture-taking, lining up everyone on the stage for examination. Those who appeared nervous were identified as suspects and targeted as subjects to be investigated. Even representatives from the Comintern recoiled at the methods used during the rectification, saying that the Yan'an situation was depressing. People did not dare interact with one another. Each person had his own axe to grind, and everyone was nervous and frightened. No one dared to speak the truth or protect mistreated friends, because each was trying to save his own life. The vicious, those who flattered, lied, and insulted others, were promoted. Humiliation became a fact of life in Yan'an. Either humiliate other comrades or humiliate oneself. People were pushed to the brink of insanity, having been forced to abandon dignity, a sense of honor or shame, and love for one another, in order to save their own lives and their own jobs. They ceased to express their own opinions, but recited party leaders' articles instead. This same system of oppression has been employed in all CCP political activities since it seized power in China. 3 years of civil war, betraying the country to seize power. The Russian bourgeois revolution in February 1917 was a relatively mild uprising. The Tsar placed the interests of the country first and surrendered the throne instead of resisting. Lenin hurriedly returned to Russia from Germany, staged another coup, and in the name of communist revolution, murdered the revolutionaries of the capitalist class who had overthrown the Tsar, thus strangling Russia's bourgeois revolution. The CCP, like Lenin, picked the fruits of a nationalist revolution. After the anti-Japanese war was over, the CCP launched a so-called War of Liberation from 1946 to 1949 to overthrow the KMT government, bringing the disaster of war to China once more. The CCP is well known for its huge crowd strategy, the sacrifice of massive casualties and deaths to win a battle. In several battles with the KMT, including those fought in Liaoxi, Shenyang, Beijing, Tianjin, and Huaihai, the CCP used these most primitive, barbarous, and inhumane tactics that sacrificed huge numbers of its own people.
Liaoxi, Shenyang, Beijing, Tianjin, and Huaihai battles were the three major battles the CCP fought with the KMT from September 1948 to January 1949, which annihilated many of the KMT's crack troops. Millions of lives were lost in these three battles.
When besieging Changchun City in Jilin Province in northeast China, in order to exhaust the food supply in the city, the People's Liberation Army, or PLA, was ordered to forbid ordinary people from leaving the city. During the 2 months of Changchun's besiegement, nearly 200,000 people died of hunger and frost, but the PLA did not allow people to leave. After the battle was over, the CCP, without a tinge of shame, claimed that they had liberated Changchun without firing a shot. From 1947 to 1948, the CCP signed the Harbin Agreement and the Moscow Agreement with the Soviet Union, surrendering national assets and giving away resources from the Northeast in exchange for the Soviet Union's full support in foreign relations and military affairs. According to the agreements, the Soviet Union would supply the CCP with 50 airplanes. It would give the CCP weapons left by the surrendered Japanese in 2 installments. And it would sell the Soviet-controlled ammunition and military supplies in China's northeast to the CCP at low prices. If the KMT launched an amphibious landing in the northeast, the Soviet Union would secretly support the CCP army. In addition, the Soviet Union would help the CCP gain control over Xinjiang in northwest China. the CCP and the Soviet Union would build an Allied Air Force. The Soviets would help equip 11 divisions of the CCP Army and transport one-third of its U.S.-supplied weapons, worth $13 billion, into northeast China. To gain Soviet support, the CCP promised the Soviet Union special transportation privileges in the northeast, both on land and in the air. Offer the Soviet Union information about the actions of both the KMT government and the U.S. military. Provided the Soviet Union with products from the northeast, including cotton and soybeans, and military supplies in exchange for advanced weapons. Granted the Soviet Union preferential mining rights in China. Allowed the Soviet Union to station armies in the northeast and Xinjiang. And permitted the Soviets to set up the Far East Intelligence Bureau in China. If war broke out in Europe, the CCP would send an expeditionary army of 100,000 plus 2 million laborers to support the Soviet Union. In addition, the CCP promised to merge some special regions in Liaoning province into North Korea if necessary.